His temptations, you can see. These are satanic temptations. But the problem is a lot of people don't realize it. It's always the basic things. Like once I was talking to somebody, a businesswoman, and I said, people do like this, and they sell. I said, it's not the right thing to do. They say, but they are building houses. They are doing it. Look at their houses. They are building. It was a relative of mine. I looked at her like, is your head correct? How can you tell me that the validation for what is right is a material product? Wrong is wrong, whether it produces results or not. Right is right, whether it produces results or not. And the standard of right and wrong for us believers is the word of God. That's why I have never, all this one I said that these are the results. He says, some people like to talk, I like to show results. I don't believe the word of it. Because if you bow to Satan, you also get results. For us believers, we use the word of God as a yardstick to demonstrate and know that which is right and that which is wrong. And I'm saying this, that what God called us to do in life is to demonstrate his righteousness. So once we have demonstrated his righteousness, like C.S. Lewis said, then it is his duty to make sure we succeed. Like Joab said to Abishai, his brother here, he said, you just show yourself strong. Be courageous on behalf of our people and the cities of our God. He said, then God will give us the victory if that is what he decides. What was he saying? Victory is of the Lord. I'm saying all of this to let us know. Listen, for us as believers, when we say go in and possess the land, I'm so happy God didn't even lay it upon my heart to start talking about how to talk to your customers. Listen, talking to your the Lord is good. Talking to your customers is right because it is right. You know, we're not teaching keys on how to succeed here. We're not teaching material keys because those material keys, I said it last time, they change anyhow. Remember the story we talked about David? After David used a stone to whack Goliath, you can be sure no other giant is going down to a stone. You can be sure of that. Because the next guy, that an Israelite, said, I will pull you down to this there. I know now. You get the helmet and wear it up to this level. Put a metal visor in front of him. Yeah, stone now. Is that not how David killed our senior uncle the other day? Thank you. You have to invent a new method for pulling down your own Goliath. Don't go and do a school of stone slinging. All the Goliaths have learned it. As you are doing school of stone slinging, they are doing a school of stone defense. How to defend yourself. You see it? Warfare 602. Defense against flying missiles from Jewish boys. I'm telling you. You are getting my point? Then you have to have wisdom for new inventions. And that's what I'm emphasizing to. Please, if you're not around last Saturday, get the message. Last Saturday's message. The message is this. Grace is available for you. Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, if you're not around on Tuesday also, please, please, get Tuesday CD. Because then I talked about the word of what? Those of you around. Word of what? And we realized that, listen, one of the things I said on Saturday, in fact, when we are compiling this, we may slot this one somewhere in the middle. All right? That's Tuesday's message. We may slot it somewhere in the middle. So as to get people to get the flu. I don't want to repeat the message, but let me just repeat for summarize what we said there for like 5 minutes or so. The Bible, we talked about diversity of manifestations. First Corinthians chapter 12. I remember I emphasized that, listen, it's an error on our part as believers to think that those things are only for preachers. Paul was writing to the whole church when he wrote that. Concerning spiritual things to the Corinthians, I don't want it to be ignorant. He now began to explain to them. And he told them to covet the gift. That is, expected the whole church to covet the gift. The manifestation was not supposed to be limited to the preachers. That's one. We also established, all right, that I quoted Kennedy Hagin in that particular point. That Kennedy Hagin said that Christians erroneously think that manifestation of spiritual things should be in public all the time. He said, but if you read through the Bible, you will find that most of the manifestations in the Bible were on private basis. When Naaman went to Elisha, it was not a public event. Even when Jesus healed the man that was beside the pool, he just walked in there, talked to the man privately, healed the man privately, and left privately. Are you getting the point? Now, he emphasized that, and when he said that, I said, wow, this is true. And we give a few examples here and there from personal experiences, the ones he told, even from the scriptures, like we've just seen one or two now. Now, two of those things now we're now put together and said, every Christian should expect that manifestation. If you go to the house of your neighbor that is sick, don't be afraid to pray. In fact, you will see miracles plenty, especially when they are unbelievers. You will see. Everybody shall get in the house and come and say, God bless you in this house. Please, we came to pray for the sick. Just by the way, all right? By the way, all right? I want to quickly digress. When you are doing evangelism, especially amongst real unbelievers, don't come in quoting the scripture. You know why? The Bible was not written for them. The Bible was written for those who already believe. David Paulson explained something in his own message, that you won't see Paul ever quote the Bible amongst Gentiles until they believe. He would say, like your own prophet said, I was walking down and I saw a temple to the unknown God. Why? Because the scriptures don't make sense to somebody who... If I'm a Muslim, your scripture is not my scripture. If I'm a Buddhist, your scripture is not my scripture. So who told you? There was a time I had a discussion when I was doing my youth service in the military barracks there. The acting commander officer one day were discussing. He was having some arguments. And after a while, he and I were arguing. Because I used to talk Bible. So, and I said, excuse me, sir. I am talking because I believe the scriptures do not contain errors. And that they are perfect and correct. He said, who said so? Oh, I said, sir, then I don't know why we've been discussing. I told him straight like that. I said, this discussion has no basis. You believe that the scripture should be explained the way to find out whether it's true or false. I think that is the foundation of truth. So what do you do with unbelievers? That's what I'm making. Walk in there. They have trouble. Offer to pray for somebody. The Bible says that the people gave attention to Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. You say, what if this doesn't get healed? Don't worry, he will get healed. What did I say? Don't worry. It's free. Just say, this man has been seriously sick. They brought him back from hospital. Oh, we are Christians. Let's pray for him. Fight. Don't pray nice prayers, though. Father God, you know, maybe you can have mercy on this house. Fight. This affliction will bind you, we cast you, and we throw you. In Jesus' name, amen. Then continue your message. Don't worry, they will soon phone you. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
That is how you handle unbelievers, so not with arguments, based on your Bible. Now, back to my message. Now, like I said, that's an aside. It's an aside. The point I'm trying to emphasize is the fact that, so we said that spiritual manifestation is to be expected even at all times. Can you remember that, if those of you are around? Now, another point we made, we said, what is the word of wisdom? I said that the common definition, I learned it also, growing up as a believer on campus, which is very common in the, for most of us Pentecostals in Nigeria. I said, that definition, I don't understand. I couldn't find any basis for it. People say that word of wisdom is when God gives a revelation of what will happen tomorrow. I said, no. Well, it's possible, but please prove it. Nobody proved it to me. And I've read different big men say it. But nobody ever gave me anything. So I stuck with my own opinion, which is clear. I told you on Tuesday. I said, word of wisdom is what? A word of wisdom. We know the meaning of wisdom. So why don't we believe that that's the spiritual manifestation? And we have examples through the scriptures. One of our best examples is Joseph. We saw the example of Solomon. When God gave Pharaoh a dream, Joseph interpreted the dream and then propounded a solution that did not exist before. He had to know how to store grain for a lengthy period. The man suddenly had ideas on how to pull goods back and save them during the times of abundance. So much was the wisdom, which the Bible summarized for us in a few lines, that Pharaoh said something. Can we find a man as wise? Which tells you it was wisdom the man was uttering, and that wisdom was supernatural. Three things I've said. One, it's not only the pastors that manifest the word of wisdom. Two, Word of wisdom does not only manifest in church, just one of the spiritual gifts. Three, word of wisdom is what? A word of wisdom. That is, there is a wisdom that God will give you that the world has not seen before. It is not always a wisdom for somebody to get healed. Sometimes it's a wisdom to invent a new idea. It's a wisdom to do a new business. It's a wisdom to tackle a difficult situation. Imagine if God were to pour that same spirit of Joseph on a man who is involved in stock trading, who is involved in buying and selling of companies, and he knows what is going to happen in 5 years, and he knows it today. Just imagine what kind of wisdom would do for the power to create wealth that God is giving him. The message, I taught it on Tuesday, please go and get the message. The message is, expect a word of wisdom. Turn to your neighbor, do it again. Tell the person, expect a word. A word of wisdom. Tell the person, there is a wisdom kept for you. Listen, there is a wisdom for everything that you want to do. We're talking about succeeding outwardly, succeeding material. We're talking about the power to create wealth. What God gives is what? Wisdom. 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 God gives us something. Now, back to the way I began this whole talk from, because I want to go on to something today. Now, so I'm going to emphasize in all of this my talk that grace, that's what I'm emphasizing, that grace is the way by which we succeed in life. It's not by our strength. Listen to this. God sends help to the believer. In life, you are not going to succeed in life by yourself. It is because God will send you help. Go and read 1 Chronicles, read chapter 10, read chapter 11. You see them describe the men of David. Those were tough men. David was a tough man, you know that. I was reading it today, was it yesterday or today? I realized that David, he and one of these tough men, withstood a whole army, just two of them, a whole battalion. Or is it company now? I don't know, about a few hundreds of soldiers. Yeah, battalion. Just David and one of the men. But go and read the Bible, those men were plenty. When you hear of Joab and his brothers, they came to save David. Everybody wanted to do David a favor. Once you were a skilled warrior in Israel, you ran to David. Say, sir, let me show you what me and my brothers can do. Guys, line up. They put a strand of hair 50 meters away. Sling with the right. Phew! The guy will get it. David said, man, something like that. Say, sir, he can do it with the left. The man goes to the left. Phew! Ah! David said, you guys are bad. Say, thank you. So, by the way, we are 200 from my extended family, and everybody can do this. So they create a company in the army of stone slingers. All of them with one purpose in mind, to make David king. You getting my point? Oh, let me prophesy for you. People will come to you to help you.
Amen.
Let me say it again. People will come to you to help you. People will find it and will count it favor for God as they are helping you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
People will open doors for you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, that is how Christians succeed. I told a story. Let's talk about ministry. T.D. Jakes, you know, something happened the other day, so I ended up downloading a lot of T.D. Jakes messages. So my wife and I were watching. Said, oh, this was T.D. Jakes before. This is T.D. Jakes now, because I look for one message I listened to like 1995, 96, thereabout. So I found the message. I was so happy to get it. I was like, oh, this is what he looked like that time. And I saw the T.D. Jakes of today. And one of the messages preached this year, I watched a bit of that today. He said, oh, it was 19 years ago when I came from, mentioned the name of his native place, and I came down to Dallas to start this thing, and everybody was excited. That, big guy now, you don't get my point. But do you know why you know T.D. Jakes? Because one day, Paul Crouch saw T.D. Jakes. Paul Crouch, T.D. Jakes was there in the U.S. ministering, going from one conference to the other, as you said, preaching here and there for Carlton Pearson and other people. And one day, Paul Crouch saw him. And what he said blessed Paul Crouch so much. Paul Crouch said, no, you have to be a part of the TBN family. Then the whole world started watching T.D. Jakes. Men will help you.
Amen.
God will send you help.
Amen.
He says, send us help from above, oh God. Because vain is the help that man initiates. God will send you help from above in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, no matter how skilled David was, he couldn't be the king in Israel by himself. Sometimes we used to say that David had some band of men follow him about who were outcast, and which is true. You know, it's in the Bible like that. But when it was time to establish him, God didn't use outcasts. Are you getting my point? Trained warriors came to help him. God is going to lift somebody up from one level of doing business to another.
Amen.
And it will be men who have done business for 50 years that God will use, they will carry you up in one day. Listen, let me say something to you. I said something last time, which is very important. You know, I started today by explaining something. Listen to this. I was explaining something when we began today about, we read again from Zerubbabel. That from Zechariah, what he said to Zerubbabel. This is the word of God for Zerubbabel. Not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of God. I explained that what is that Spirit of God? We talked about it last time. The Spirit of God refers to the, well, this is how it comes, to the pouring forth of oil from the prophets of God into the life of Zerubbabel. That is, we Christians, is as we pay, I'm going to just discuss that again today as I close, is as we pay attention to God's word, that strength to succeed is poured into us. I'll come back to it. In fact, that's what I wanted to amplify, but the Holy Spirit has been speaking since, so I believe we're going to get back to this, all right? But now listen to this. And I said something. I said, in this life, God wanted to bless you, so he sent people. He called them preachers, ministers. Send them into your life. Now listen, I gave an example that when the Bible says he gave gifts unto men, that it wasn't saying that you take a gift and I gave you a teaching gift. You take a gift, a pastoral gift. No, that's not what he was saying. He said that you, I wanted to bless you. So I said, Banky, go and teach the word to this guy. I am the gift that God gave you. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, you hear me all the time quote, David Paulson said this, Kenneth Hagin said this one, David Oedipo said this one, I heard Mike Murdock say this. Listen, oh, Father in heaven, when God wanted to end, tell me, Banky, I don't want you to struggle or make any plans for your life, you just want to let me order your life for you. I was a house officer, and my church had a program, and a man, Larry Adeboye, that's the man's name, my pastor's friend, came to our church. And he spoke on year by year. The notes I found recently, a few years ago in my house, the notes I took then, that was in 1992. I'm talking about yesterday. I was a house officer, I went to church. I was a Bible teacher in that church. And this man came to teach on year by year. And he began to talk, in summary, about the plan of God. How Hannah's miracle was delayed until she understood God's plan for the season. That's why I call the message year by year. And he went on and on and on. When he was through that day, I said, God, that was the first time I realized that God had a plan for my life. I thought God's plan is be a good Christian and then make good plans that God will bless. No, I found out that actually God had a plan for my life. And I needed to follow the plan of God, discover the plan of God, walk by it. And I still remember that day when it was time to pray. I stood up. I was sitting in front, ready to charge my life out. Then a voice dropped in my heart. What are you doing? I said, we are praying. I was thinking to myself, you know, talking to my... I said, did you listen to everything the man said? I said, yes. He said, yes. Then shut up and sit down. Then I just kept quiet and I sat down. That was the first time I understood that what God was saying. You are transformed as the word is entering. Not this noise you want to make for me now. You're not thinking you're a good boy. Did you pay attention? I said yes. Then shut, literally, that's what thought dropped in my mind. Literally was shut up and sit down. So I just kept quiet and I sat down. So people were praying. I just saying, thank you, Jesus. Just I sat in my seat. The people were. I just sat down. But believe me, I was not the same after that day. What am I going to say? When God wanted to set my life in order, he didn't start teaching me from Genesis to Revelation. He sent Lamide Adeboye to me. I hope you are getting my point. All my life, I was taught, because I grew up with the word of faith level, the New Testament written to the church, Old Testament is written to Jews. What are you doing? Reading? Then I went to church one day, 18th of May, 1997, Covenant Christian Center in Lagos. And Pastor Wood, you said, listen, you don't understand the Old Testament because your eyes are covered. That if the veil is lifted up your eyes, you will see the tabernacle and you will see Jesus in it. He said, listen, the prophets prophesied the gospel. The New Testament is just the apostles decoding what they said. That Paul said, I am an apostle of the gospel that the prophets prophesied. I said, Jesus. I went back home, like I told you last time. I picked the book of Isaiah. And I said, Isaiah, where are you? And Isaiah, I've been here all the while. It was ignorance that was your problem. That is, in one single message, a man destroyed the thing that hooked me away from great revelation that was taught for me. So when you hear me say, we quote some scriptures. I was not able to receive those scriptures until that day I met that man. That is, God said, Banky is held on to it. Something he thinks is right, but it's not correct. How do we break it? Send him a gift. What is that gift? He says, Kpojo Imade. I hope you get my point. You can read your Bible and get healed. That's true. But let me tell you something. Kenneth Hagin was going to die. He died twice and went to hellfire. Before he entered into hell, God pulled him back. I'm going to read his story. Then he died again and began to go to heaven. And then as he was ascending up to heaven, he heard a voice say, go back, go back. You can't come yet. Your work on earth is not done. And he opened his eyes and told his grandmother, I'm not going to die now. He said he was there watching them. Two times he saw his body lying on the bed. And when he came back this time around, he said, I'm not going to die now. His grandmother thought that he thought he won't die that moment. He said, no, I'm not going to die for a long time. He was 16, 17. Finally died at the age of 80, thereabout. Now, what am I telling the story? After that day that I knew he was not going to die, he laid on that bed sick for another 1 year, thereabout. I'm not sure of the but months. He was on the bed for a total of 16 months. But after that experience, he was on the bed for maybe another one whole year. I don't know the exact number of days. You know, it's something dawned on me. You know, when I first started reading Kenneth Hagin those days, I thought that he was the first to preach divine healing because that was the first person I knew preaching divine healing. Until I began to read that in that United States of America there, Alexander Dawe had come and gone. John G. Lake had come. He was still alive that period, but God didn't let them meet. Maria Woodward Etta had come. Men, women had come. But God wanted. Now, please listen to this. I am persuaded. Because Kenneth Hagin said he called many preachers to come and talk to him. All of them discouraged him. All. Once, listen to this story. John G. Lake said he came from a family that sickness was their friend. More than half of the children that the mother had died. Just used to die. Then one day, he understood the power of divine healing, which he learned from John Alexander Dawe. Dawe was the one that prayed for him and delivered him from his own sickness. Then one day he got home. They called him and said, your sister is about to die. So he ran down home. When he got there, the woman, either she was dead or she was about to die, but she died anyway. I said, when he got there, he looked, he said, no, this death has worried this family too much. I can't let this happen. He began to pray. He said, I need assistance. So he quickly sent a message, telegram. What do you call telegram, you know? Quickly sent it to Zion City, where John Dawe was. And said, my sister has apparently died, but my spirit will not let her go. I want to return her back to life. Please pray with me. The man quickly returned. He said, hold on, I am praying with you. And he continues to pray. The woman's husband was sitting down there crying. He continued to pray. He continued to pray until the man got up. Went closer to the bed, noticed that the woman was blinking. Prayed the woman out of death. Prayed her back to life and to health. I said, these men were there and God allowed Kenneth Hagin to suffer like this? Why? I don't know exactly why, because there are many reasons. You can't know all of them. But what I want to point to you, if you think that I have my Bible, I will just get it, you will have to wait 16 months on a terribly sick bed to discover that thing again. That is how hard it is when you have to pull it from the ground by yourself. So God said, why does everybody have to suffer 16 months on a sick bed like Kenneth Hagin did? So the Holy Spirit sat with him and taught him and said, anybody that will pay... Now, I'm adding words to make my point. Anybody that will pay attention to you will not go through this. Go and read your Bible. That was why Job suffered. Job suffered so that God will be able to brag that when any of my children start suffering and they respond like Job, I will have the righteousness to deliver them from their sufferings. Because I will say, this is how Job did and he recovered. They don't have to suffer like Job did. Job has suffered already for them. Not as if Job suffered, paid for their suffering. That was the work of Jesus. But Job was a story for God to tell so as to demonstrate his righteousness. There's so much to do on this earth. Listen to me. So much to do that God doesn't have the time to make each person stay on a sick bed for 2 years before they get well. So I will send you a word of healing through the mouth of a man. His name is Kenneth Hagin. He has suffered all the suffering. Don't worry. You just pay attention. I hope you're getting my point. That's why I said, listen, in life. You know I'm saying all of these things? God has sent you help. Somebody say amen. Nobody's thinking you'll be the one to struggle and suffer and do everything by yourself. No. God has sent you help. Amen. I was saying something earlier. I'm prophesying for those who will do business. A man will sweat and struggle or be blessed by God. I will say this, will surprise you. Some will even be punished by God. And their punishment is struggle and gather. It's not in your Bible like that. He said, why? I want him to give it to him who is pleasing in my sight. So God says, when your time comes, what I will do is send you help. I hope you are getting my points. Just like I send spiritual people, that is who do what you call spiritual, because for me, all of them are spiritual things. There are people that have said, listen, do you know, there are men that at the stroke of a pen, you understand, they make you a multi-millionaire. That's it. That is life. It's not fair. Listen, when you get to the gate of heaven, is it not the card of Jesus used to enter? I don't know whether you're getting my point. When you get to that gate, is the card of the Lord Jesus you're going to use? Now, please, I'm bringing an issue here. Listen to me. God will send you help.
Amen.
God, that's why I said, get ready for divine placement. We are talking the power of grace. Grace will lift you up.
Amen.
I said to you last time, I'm not here to teach methods. I'm here to impart. A spirit of the victor. A spirit of the overcomer. A spirit that makes a poor man become rich. A spirit that turns his failure into success. I am just here to talk. And as I'm speaking, from my being, is radiating the substance of God to destroy every failure in your life.
Amen.
It is a gift of God to you. You will not fail in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Success is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Victory is yours in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
By the power. He said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. That you through his poverty might be made rich. I declare to you that failure has died in your life.
Amen.
The wisdom to distinguish you in your own area. Receive it now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It was wisdom that took Joseph out of jail. The king did not look and say, Joseph, you look like your father has a covenant with God. What do you concern Pharaoh concerning your God? He had many gods in Egypt. In fact, when he says, seeing that in you dwells the spirit of God, that's what King James says. Go and read every other translation. He said, in you dwells the spirit of the gods. So he didn't elevate Joseph because Joseph had a covenant with God. What God did was to place a wisdom in the mouth of Joseph that Pharaoh had to bow, like we say. Pharaoh so bowed before that wisdom, he said to Joseph, listen, the only thing that is greater in authority in Israel, in Egypt now, is just my name. As per the real authority is with you. From now on, if you imprison any of the princes, they are in jail. That is, when he says princes, big men in Egypt, ministers in Egypt, rulers, judges. If you say, put this man in detention, he's misbehaving. That's what Pharaoh told him. Wow, that was the amount of regard he had for the wisdom that God dropped for that young man. Your wisdom will come to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, let me quote this. I have two scriptures. Listen to them and receive them. You know them already. I just felt like declaring them again. God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And you will abound to every good work.
Amen.
He will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river.
Amen.
And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream.
Amen.
Take those scriptures. They are yours. Failure will see you and run.
Amen.
The spirit of excellence, the spirit of wisdom, right now dwells upon you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your sins have been forgiven.
Amen.
You walk in repentance and the light of truth. Your sins have been forgiven.
Amen.
All ancestral curses were broken years ago. You don't need any special breaking now. The grace to distinguish you, it rests upon you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will not be average.
Amen.
God will make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And you will abound to every good work.
Amen.
You will be a redeemer for nations.
Amen.
The day people meet you, they will smile. They will know deliverance has come.
Amen.
The grace to succeed is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The grace to triumph is with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Where you failed before, you will return to the place. And by virtue of the excellence and the wisdom of God, multiply success will come to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You shall be the head and not the tail.
Amen.
You shall be above alone and not beneath.
Amen.
Listen, your father, your mother, if they are alive, they will be happy.
Amen.
One day they will look at you and say, God, thank you that we had this boy. Thank you that we had this girl.
Amen.
A time will come. This is not because of pride, though. This is just what will happen. You will be living in Enugu or Lagos or Nature, Abakaliki. Listen to me. And the Igwe of your village will pay you a visit.
Amen.
And all of this you will achieve in righteousness.
Amen.
All of this you will achieve with a good name.
Amen.
God will be proud of you.
Amen.
He will speak in the company of angels and say, have you considered my servant? And your name is mentioned in. Listen, your life is a demonstration of his righteousness.
Amen.
Your life is a demonstration of the righteousness of God.
Amen.
You know what he said? He said that he might be just. He was speaking about the redemption that is in Christ and the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. That he might be just and the righteousness of him who has faith in him. He said he made us new creations. How did he say it again? That scripture. That we may be the righteousness of God in him. Yes. A lot of times people say, what does it mean that word righteousness? I'll tell you. Righteousness means a demonstration that God was right. I don't know whether you get my point. That is when Jesus was dying, who did not have a sin? For God to be just in doing it, he has to show a sinner who became righteous. I don't know whether you're getting my point. He has to show a failure who became successful. He has to justify killing his own son. He has to justify it. And when he wanted to justify it, Paul said, it is you he's using. Listen to me again. You will be the righteousness of God in this generation.
Amen.
Your wealth, yes, that's the word, will be a story for the generation after you.
Amen.
They will follow your footpath so as to serve God.
Amen.
It will come to an end. And you are one of the people that will make it end. That you say in this country, a man is rich, we don't know what he does. They will know what you do.
Amen.
They will know how God blessed you.
Amen.
And they will know how many people you are blessing.
Amen.
People will go to universities all over the world because their fathers are working for you.
Amen.
People who have died in poverty, they will live and not die because you are alive.
Amen.
Grace is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Grace is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That is how we succeed as believers. Everything we are doing in life is so as to tap this grace. All that we are doing in life is so as to tap the grace of God. If we say walk to the right, what we are just saying is that is that where grace is flowing. For example, I told you before, why Christians don't commit sin is that it closes the door of grace. I hope you get my point. He said, if you want my grace to flow, bring down the mountain, elevate the valley. Make everywhere even. What I wanted to talk about, like I said, our time is gone, so let's go now. I want to explain something that believers we must learn to assess every failure and every victory in the light of the working of the power of God. The scripture I wanted to start with today is the book of Joshua, chapter 7. When they went to Ai. But we'll discuss it next time. I just wanted to say so that I will remember that that's why I stopped. Because in life, what God is doing is shaping us. He's preparing us. He's arranging us. He's making us so that we can receive his grace and manifest his glory. I hope you've gotten my point.